put the lock in hold. A clean house gets cleaner. Now, you heard me mumbling a little bit before as I said a clean house gets cleaner. I recorded this talk last night, but I forgot to turn the recorder on. So this time I put the recorder on hold on record, so I cannot accidentally turn it off. Now, isn't that nice? I mean, I tell you, you get your ideas organized, you get a clean house, a clean mind, and things work. A clean house gets even cleaner. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, here in Campo, California, the wonderland of the world. What does it mean to have a clean house get even cleaner? Well, when you have a house and you keep it clean every day, not spending a lot of time on it, just dusting here and there, making it look pleasant, it is easy to take care of. We have the Shangri-La, and the Shangri-La had been abandoned for a couple of months because Inga had other things that she had to do. She couldn't work down there. And so I noticed that the dust had piled up 2 or 3 feet deep and needed to be remedied. So I thought, I'll just take a minute and do it. So I huffed and I puffed and I blew the dust away. And then I realized that it had to go someplace. So I opened the doors and out it went. There was an old floor mop there, sort of used for something or other. I wasn't sure what. There wasn't a broom in the house, not one broom in the house. There wasn't anything in the house, really. And so I just grabbed a hold of some towels that were hanging in the bathroom and this and that, and I just went to cleaning up. And I looked at the kitchen counters and I thought, now, on kitchen counters, we shouldn't have tools. So I stuck them down below. On the kitchen counter, we aren't using the toaster, so let's stick that down below. That's just something extra to dust. If it's off of there, we don't have to dust it. And then there was a little heater, what do you call it, X-ray oven, you know, that was up on top of the counter, and I set it down on a shelf. And then there were hundreds of thousands of little containers that did nothing. And so I stacked them and put them in the shelf until I could decide what to do with them. I know how they're a treasure for some people, and so I didn't want to throw them away immediately. But finally I got all of the countertop cleared off. And then I took a shovel and I dug out the dirt and cleaned it all off. And after I did that, then I took a cloth and I wiped the dirt all into the trash can. And after I did that, then I took a wet cloth and I cleaned it all up, wiping it down clean. And it looked so beautiful. It's a red top counter. You would never know it. And so once that was done, then I thought, well, I'll do the edges of the counter too. And then beyond the edges, I noticed that there were wood cabinets up above and below that I really had never paid attention to because the clutter of the counter always took my attention. And so I wiped off all the cabinets, you know, whoosh, 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 and they looked great. Oh, they just glistened so pretty. And then I did something I don't usually do. I looked at the windows and I saw how they had not been touched, and I said, I'm not going to do it. Normally I would do it too, but I didn't do it. I didn't have the bottle of Windex handy, but it'll get done. Down. After I'd finished that, then I swept the kitchen floor, and it was gorgeous. It was really pleasant to look at. Then I had to sweep the dirt that overlapped out of the kitchen, of the dining room. And so as I was sweeping out the dining room, I naturally had to rearrange the furniture and adjust it all nicely and make it all in place. And so that got done. It took maybe 2 minutes. I mean, you know, with a swoosh and a swoosh and a push. And then I noticed things sticking off of shelves and things not here. And I readjusted them and fixed them up nice. It's just a clean house gets cleaner. So then I headed into the living room. And the living room was, there was an attempt to make it look like a comfortable little place around the fireplace. But it's impossible. We didn't have the furniture to make it comfortable. So I said, I got to rearrange something here. So I looked at all of the big sheets of glass, 7 feet long by 36 to 40 inches wide. And sheet of, what is this, maybe 3/8 of an inch or almost half an inch thick. And I said, that's got to move. They were all laying, six of them, they were laying against the bookcases. And, you know, you can't get into bookcases there. And so just at the moment I was thinking of doing this, Christina comes walking in. She says, I want to put these books there. I said, I know. Just shove them in the front of the cabinet there, and they'll get in there. And so she put them in front of the cabinet, and she was gone. Remember? Yeah. She brought Harry Potter over, and he was going to get shoved into the cabinet there. And so I looked in the closet, and I said, hey, that's a good place for these sheets of glass. So I took all of the legs for the glass tables, which are quite heavy by themselves, and I carried them in by twos and stacked them against the wall with pieces of terry cloth or things between them to make them nice and stand up nice. Then I took the sheet of glass. It was the ordinary size one. And it wouldn't go through the door to get into the closet. Even tilting it over, it wouldn't go through the door. So I had to readjust my mind and think, now, these are going to be out in this room. So I stood them against the wall next to a little couch that I had created. And so I got them all very, very nicely there. And everything was just fine. I just carried them over there. They're 200-300 pounds each. And put them into place. Then I came to the big one. That was 7 feet or better, 7.5, maybe even 8 feet. The ceiling isn't that high in that house. I can reach up and touch it. And so I figure that's maybe about 7 feet. But it tilts, the ceiling tilts. And at the place I put all the glasses where it was tilting. And so I couldn't stand the piece straight up. I had to have it a little bit on the bend, which was good, because it's just sort of bent over the others. Well, that done, I was so filled with energy. I was so filled with you know, spit and vinegar that I just went on and rearranged it. I took the stuff out of the living room that didn't belong there and put it in the master bedroom, where it didn't belong either. And I cleaned off the desk, which had the drawers on top of it, instead of stuck into the drawer. So if somebody did come in there and wanted to do their meditation there, they could, you know. And then I rearranged this and rearranged that, and little by little, everything just turned out good, even without a broom. And then I noticed that the carpets on the floor were all kind of sort of kittywampus and kittymadoo, and so I straightened them out and organized them in a nice way. And so how long they'll stay that way, we'll see. But the place is clean. Now, strangely enough, three or four people walked into it afterwards. I didn't know anyone ever went in there. And they came out and said, hey, that is clean in there. That is nice. And I thought, yes, that's right. It is clean and nice in there. But you see, a clean house gets cleaner. Now, what's going to happen? Anytime anybody walks in that house from this day on, they're not going to just take the junk and throw it down and run. They're going to look at it and they're going to say, this is where somebody lives. I haven't the vaguest idea who it is, but this is where somebody lives, and I'm going to make it pleasant. Somebody may want to come over here and meditate. They may want to come over here and sew. They may want to come over here and take a nap. They may want to come over here and do whatever they want to do. But I'm going to make it nice. Now, there are four more buildings over there that will be adjusted. And you watch. You watch. I went into the storage area, and I saw this beautiful big piece of carpet, 300 feet by 20 feet, you know, it weighs about 2,000 pounds. And so I picked it up and put it in my arm and carried it over here to, you like that, don't you? it was a 10 by 12. And I carried it over here to the broadcasting room so we could make it pleasant in there. But now, I'm telling you these things because this is the way it works. People have learned to be careful when they're around me. Never give me a can of paint and a paintbrush. because I will paint until that can of paint is empty, even if it was something that wasn't supposed to be painted. So you got to be careful, because I get all sorts of fired up to go on these things, and I go because a clean house gets cleaner. This is the wonderful thing about it. Ellen tells me that her husband was one of the meanest men on earth. Her husband just hated Ellen so terribly. He built them a beautiful house, a beautiful palatial house on top of this apartment house series, and had everything built in so she couldn't move anything. And she says, I wanted to move the furniture, but there's no furniture to move. It was all built in. Everything was so I couldn't do anything. And you see, this is what the fun of having a house is rearranging the furniture you have, rearranging the things and having fun doing it. That's the way it gets clean. The minister's wife, when I was in Unity, back in the Youth of Unity in Milwaukee, we would go over to her house once a month, and we would clean her house for her. She loved us. And I said, one condition. I said, you go away. You go away. And Elmer, go away too. And we'll clean the house. And if you don't like it, the way we put the furniture back after we've gone into every nook and cranny and, you know, vacuumed everything, then you can rearrange it however you like. But part of the fun of getting the job done is rearranging the furniture. And so, us kids, we were all creative. I was the counselor for the group. And so we would clean the house really good and trim the grass and hedges. And it was sort of a two-door house, a T-U-D-O-R house, you know, like the English had. And with arched entranceway in there, and it's with a deep reddish type brick and steep roofs and so forth. It's very charming. And so we fixed that up very nicely for her. And she'd come home, and she had the courtesy not to screech, what have you done to my house? Because every month when we'd go there, we'd rearrange it differently. And and she would let it be. She would let it be. Her husband would come home, and she'd say, oh, the kids have been here again, huh? Don't knock it, dear. They cleaned the house very nice. You know? Washed all the windows, did everything. But we pretended it was our house. Our playhouse. And so you can imagine all month long, all us creative minds were thinking, now, how can we rearrange that house to really make it a little different, you know? But you see, that's part of cleaning a clean house. It's not a matter of cleaning it once a month like that. That is good too. But and even spring house cleaning is not important. Taking care of it a little by little as you go along. If you're going to do the vacuuming, pull the chairs out and vacuum under it, you know, once, maybe every 3 months or something. But you don't have to do it more often than that. I know that many of you think you do. But a nice house is a house that has clean shelves. It has orderly shelves. It has clean window shelves. Everything is in divine order. And that's probably Mr. Gregor. But a clean house only gets cleaner because we put the cause in motion. Now, we have a situation here where Gregor said he was going to call. Now, Ellen knew that I'm giving a talk. And so Ellen should have had the phone right next to her so she could just click it and walk away with it. You understand? This is, if a kid doesn't do this, we say, you're stupid, you should have had the phone next to you. You know it was for you. But when an adult doesn't do it, then we think, now that's not too cool. All of us have to learn to use our head. A clean house gets cleaner, and a busy house gets busier. And there's an article in several magazines recently about Alzheimer's disease. And Alzheimer's disease is where the brain doesn't cease to remember things and doesn't cease to function well. And one of the things they said, which was a very excellent cure, or at least maintenance cure for Alzheimer's disease, is if a person who starts forgetting things, you know, and his brain starts not functioning perfectly, is to work on crossword puzzles, is to work on things that use the mind. Now, President Reagan has Alzheimer's, and he's really gone over the hill with it, but he certainly was a busy guy. He certainly had a busy mind. You'd say, well, it wouldn't have helped him. Yes, it would. You see, to work on puzzles, you work on something that doesn't touch you. It merely uses your mind. President Reagan was always working on ways to make the country better, ways to improve the United States, ways to get along with politicians and stuff. He was working on problems that were mind-boggling, but not mind-relaxing and mind-creative and mind-inspiring. Mark, my son, is working on this engine that he has, and he doesn't care. He's designing this with this new software that he has that is 3D software, and he doesn't care. He's doing it for himself, and he's having fun. And they say, hurry up, oh, we want those engines, oh my, hurry. Poof. He doesn't say poof to them. He just says, I'm working on it. I want it perfect. And what he doesn't really want it perfect. He wants to experiment with all the possibilities that he can think of. He can make one thing perfect and have it done, but he doesn't stop there because he thinks of the other nuances that make it fun. So a clean house gets cleaner when you allow yourself to be creative and have fun. Now, I didn't have to clean the Shangri-La. I didn't have to straighten out all those things. It didn't do any good at all. Ellen came into my house and she said, let's get this place clean. We got some things going on here. And so I just took everything and shoved it into some closets and let her vacuum the floor and dust. And it looked nice and clean. But you open up my closets and it's quite busy. Just doesn't bother me. There may be letters in there that are a month, 2 months, 4 months old. But so be it. You see, when your life threatens you and controls you, it's no fun. It's no fun. I was thinking as I was walking the path this morning, now what if I would die? What if I would just escape this world and get away from all these things that I'm doing? And I said to myself, well, what am I doing? I'm just having fun. I would just do that wherever I'd go. On my next dimension, I'd have fun too. And on this dimension, I have fun too. Why would I want to leave? Why would I ever want to leave this dimension? And no reason. So then, in Nova Scotia, you know where Nova Scotia is? It's in Canada. It's the right-hand corner of Canada looking north. And in Nova Scotia, they're doing some research now because the people seem to be living longer there. They have more people over 90 years old and 100 years old and alive than any single place in the world. But, interestingly enough, the women do very well. But the men who are older are more alert and more dynamic. Whereas the women who are alive are okay, but they are not enjoying it as much as the men. And I found that a most interesting article. It was in the AARP magazine. And it was also in the National Geographic and Discovery magazine. So, you see, these are fantastic things that are going on in our world, where people, a clean house gets cleaner. Don't fill your house with crud of worry, of anger, of unhappiness, your mental house. Don't fill your house here with things that are doing things like that. Don't do that. Be free. Now, who can tell me what today is? Anita?
Christmas.
No, it's your birthday. Yes, it's Christmas. The Christ child was born a couple of years ago. But Anita, this is the night before Christmas.
All right.
And so out of our stocking this evening is going to come Irene. And she is going to fiddle while Rome burns. I mean, she's going to fiddle while we sing and have a good time. Now, we could say, oh dear, so much planning, so much preparation. No way. Open up the cupboards and bring it out. And let's sing and have a good time. A clean house gets only cleaner, and it's not only a mental house, or a physical house, or a yard, or a farm, or the ranch, like here, the spiritual retreat, but it's a world, and it's a universe, and it only gets better because of one thing, because we're enjoying it, and we're relaxed. Now, I think that's the way we should go, don't you? So, have a lovely day. Remember, this is the thought for today. Supposed to get out this morning, but didn't quite make it. So, we don't mind, do we? We have fun being ourselves and just doing the right thing. Stop? Yes, I'm sure.